That was Asim Al-Nabi, spokesperson for the Gaza municipality. You're listening to Electronic Intifada Radio with me, Nora Barrows-Friedman. It's almost impossible for any of us to avoid contact with products made by Microsoft. It's not just familiar applications like Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, or the ubiquitous Windows operating system. You may not realize it, but when you withdraw money from an ATM, it's very likely that that machine is running a Microsoft application. When you book a ticket or interact with customer service on an airline, it's likely that this is processed on systems developed by the US-based software company. And your medical records might also be stored on systems created by Microsoft. And those are just a few ways that the US-based software firm is woven into everyday life. Microsoft's massive reach helped drive sales of $70 billion just in the first quarter of this year and boosted profits by 18%. Much of this windfall is driven by the company's aggressive foray into AI, artificial intelligence. The company claims on its website that its mission is, quote, to help every person and organization develop and use AI in a way that serves the public good. Microsoft also claims that its goal is to protect people's fundamental rights and mitigate potential harm, to promote responsible business practices, to protect democracy, and advance fair and inclusive societies. However, last month, Microsoft held a celebration for its employees, marking 50 years since the US-based software giant was founded. With so much success, what is not to celebrate? It didn't go exactly as planned. Let's take a look at this video from that event.
But Microsoft sells AI weapons to the Israeli military. 50,000 people have died, and Microsoft started this genocide in our region.
Thank you for your protest. I hear you.
You're suing them. You know about this, Mustafa.
I hear your protest. Thank you.
Shame on you. You are a war profiteer.
I hear you.
Stop
thank you.
Stop using AI for genocide in our region. You have blood on your hands. All of Microsoft has blood on its hands. How dare you all celebrate when Microsoft is killing children? Shame on you all. Shame on you.
That was Microsoft employee Ibtihal Abu Saad protesting the company's sale of its AI and Azure cloud computing technologies to the Israeli military, enabling the ongoing genocide. Abu Saad was not the only employee to protest at the event. Vanya Agrawal also challenged the company's complicity in Israel's crimes.
Shame on you all. You're all hypocrites. I'm a Microsoft worker, and I do not consent.
Thank you.
50,000 Palestinians in Gaza have been murdered with Microsoft technology.
Thank you.
How dare you? Shame on all of you for celebrating on their blood. Cut ties with Israel. No anger for apartheid. Microsoft AI kills kids. Microsoft powers genocide.
Not surprisingly, both Ibtihal Abu Saad and Vanya Agrawal were fired after their protest made headlines and went viral on social media. Nor were they the first to be fired for such actions. In October, Abdul Mohammed, a researcher and data scientist, and Hossam Nasser, a software engineer, were fired after organizing a vigil outside Microsoft headquarters in Redmond, Washington, to protest the company's role in Israel's mass killing of Palestinians. Microsoft workers call their ongoing campaign against the company's complicity, No Azure for Apartheid. And we're pleased to be joined now by former Microsoft employees Vanya Agrawal and Hossam Nasser, as well as by a current employee, June. That's not her real name. For obvious reasons, we're hiding her real name. June, Hossam, and Vanya, thank you so much. It's an honor to welcome you to Electronic Intifada Radio.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here.
Thank you so much for having us. It's really a privilege to be here with both you, Nora, and Ali.
Well, thank you. And Vanya, in that powerful video of you protesting at the company celebration, you say 50,000 Palestinians have been murdered with Microsoft technology. Can you explain in everyday terms how exactly the Israeli military is using Microsoft software? What role do Microsoft's products play in the mass slaughter we are seeing in Gaza every day?
Microsoft is key in aiding and abetting in Israel's genocide of the Palestinian people. Microsoft has been celebrating its 50th year anniversary, always making a point to highlight their philanthropist impact. But every month we continue to learn more and more about how Microsoft and its services have enabled and accelerated the genocide in Gaza. There have been multiple investigations by news outlets, including The Guardian, AP News, DropSite News, and others. Microsoft knowingly provides Israel with technology, including artificial intelligence, that's deployed to facilitate grave human rights violations, war crimes, crimes against humanity, including apartheid, as well as genocide. This relationship between Microsoft and the IOF dates back decades. In 2002, Microsoft participated in the largest software deal in Israel at the time. And since then, Microsoft's partnership with the Israeli apartheid regime have only expanded. In 2021, for instance, Microsoft signed a three-year contract with the Israeli Ministry of Defense worth $133 million. And now in 2025, Microsoft has essentially a footprint in all major military infrastructures in Israel, with military service agreements that span across more than 600 individual subscriptions tied to different divisions, units, bases, and projects within the Israeli military. And these agreements mean that Microsoft provides the Israeli military with Azure Cloud, AI, and storage services, which the Israeli military uses to construct their automated weapons platform and essentially mass assassination factory, which automate and accelerate the crimes through systems like The Gospel, Lavender, and Where's Daddy. And these systems are responsible for developing kill lists and target banks, and they aid in the surveillance of an indiscriminate bombing of the Palestinian people. And what's notable is that we've seen the Israeli military's reliance on Microsoft's Azure Cloud technology and AI services has actually surged since its genocide of the Palestinians in Gaza. And according to usage data from March of just last year, the military's usage of Microsoft and OpenAI artificial intelligence actually spiked nearly 200 times higher than pre-October 2023. Even besides cloud and AI, Microsoft provides software, cloud support, consulting services to the Israeli military and government. They embed workers in the military units, and they provide staff and contractors to give specialized consulting and tech support to Israel. So Microsoft really forms the technological backbone of Israel's automated apartheid and genocide systems and is ultimately a digital weapons manufacturer at the end of the day. What we're witnessing is the first AI-powered genocide that literally runs on Microsoft Azure. And it's not just Microsoft, to be fair. It's Amazon, Google, and all these tech companies. They're all complicit. In this digital and AI age, cloud and AI have really become as deadly as bombs and bullets.
June, you're currently a worker at Microsoft, which is why, quite understandably, we're not using your real name. But talk about the impact of these protests within the company from your perspective. How widely are the concerns that you're raising in this campaign, how widely are they shared? And what impact are you seeing from the actions that some of your colleagues and now fired colleagues have taken?
The campaign has been around for around a year, but after Bani and Iftihal's protests, we saw a surge in global interest and support for what the campaign is calling for, which is, of course, divestment and Israel off Azure. So as an individual, when I speak to the people around me and speak to fellow employees, I sense a general change that most people are against what's happening. And that's also reflected in the fact that people are flocking to the campaign from Microsoft offices all over the world. We're also seeing this in how, for example, Microsoft has become a priority target for the BDS campaign. And worldwide, people are answering that call, even to the point of game developers who have written games for Xbox deciding to pull them from the store in order to heed the call to boycott Microsoft. So they have these dashboards where they track sentiment around the company. And these dashboards show that the entire world is starting to understand that Microsoft's reputation for carrying out human rights is a false image, and understanding their complicity in the genocide that we're seeing. I believe that we are at a turning point where this mass awareness and mass conviction that what is happening and what the company is participating in is wrong will enable us to make some change there.
Hossam, if you could just tell us a little bit about why you also took the stand that you did.
I was fired last October for organizing a vigil with another organizer, Abdo, from the campaign. We organized a vigil to honor the lives of the countless Palestinians who have been killed in Gaza with Microsoft technology. We cannot afford to be silent in the face of the Holocaust of our time. It is simply unacceptable to have our labor be used to accelerate this genocide, to honestly have our tax dollars fund the bombs that are raining down on our brothers and sisters in Palestine and say nothing. Like, silence is complicity. I could not bear the thought of having a drop of Palestinian blood on my hands. That's the barest of minimums one can do, honestly. It's not like we should be asking ourselves, why are we not doing more?
Thank you, Hossam. You know, it's extraordinary that you and Vanya and Ibtihal, and I know that you have another colleague who were fired for the stand you took. On the one hand, Microsoft is an enormous company. It's one of the world's richest companies. As we said, it's embedded in almost every aspect of daily life. Why can't they just ignore you? They're a big, powerful company. Why should they care that a few employees decided to, you know, throw themselves under the bus? I'm playing devil's advocate here. And then I have another question. I want to ask you what you would say. As Vanya pointed out, Microsoft is a big player here, but it's not the only one. There are other enormous tech companies that are complicit in this genocide, and smaller ones too. What would you say to tech workers in other companies, not just Microsoft?
Everybody that is able should be using their position, power, and privilege to speak up and hold those in power accountable. And like I mentioned, it's not just Microsoft, it's Amazon, it's Google, it's Palantir, it's all these big tech companies that we've been worshiping and idolizing for years, saying that they are at the forefront of innovation and helping make our future better. We need to reframe this idea that they all tech is tech for good and for the evolution and continuation of innovation and humanity. It's so clear now that all of these tech companies are really just weapons manufacturers under the hood. And the time has passed for silence and inaction. Silence is complicity, inaction is complicity. And just sharing posts on social media, that's not enough. Commenting on a picture of another martyred journalist or another starving child is not enough. When it comes to Microsoft and Google and Amazon and across the tech sector, we need to hold all of these companies accountable to their missions and their values. We need to demand that they cut ties with that they end these bloody contracts. And we need to make it more expensive for them to continue these ties than to cut them, which means boycotting them, boycotting their products, not giving them a single dollar as they continue to profit from genocide of Palestinians, not give them a single ounce of our labor and our time and our energy, and do this through building community, organizing and protesting, from taking actions like what Ibtihal and I did that are loud and disruptive and public, to more actions behind the scenes that the campaigns and grassroots movements really desperately need. There's a role truly for everybody to play in this movement. And we really have so much power in our numbers. Any sacrifice we can make is well worth the cause to see a free and liberated Palestine within our lifetime. Protecting Palestine is really protecting the world.
As Vanya said, I think the amazing thing is the power of the collective coming together to try to exert pressure on the company. Because, like, as much as Vanya and Hossam and these individuals made an amazing disruptive protest that also came out of a sustained campaign of organizing and preparing for those moments, the evidence of why that is really powerful is also in the extent to which Microsoft has attempted to repress any type of organizing around this. So they have essentially rearranged a lot of their business operations entirely around trying to prevent the campaign from gaining more momentum. And they have basically dismantled their internal social media platforms because discussions of Microsoft's complicity were getting too uncomfortable for them, and they didn't want the word to spread. So they've locked those down. They're having one of their largest events for customers. It's called Microsoft Build. And one of their primary objectives for the event is to avoid a rally that the campaign is organizing at the event to hold both Microsoft and the people who are attending and potentially giving them money accountable. It's really amazing because while it started as a small group of people, it is growing exponentially in size. It's really evident in their response to us that they're very frightened of the impact that we're going to have on the company.
They have tried their very best to ignore us, and they have ignored us. And this is why it was our responsibility to make Palestine unavoidable and to make it so that they cannot ignore us, because our voices are louder than theirs, and they cannot just brush us away like they want us to do. This is why their statement is always like, well, you know, there is proper channels or whatever to provide this feedback, because they do ignore these so-called proper channels, and that's what they want people to focus on. At the end of the day, I think our responsibility is to exact the highest possible cost on Microsoft and those tech companies and affect their bottom line. They are ultimately profit-seeking companies. If we make it cost more than those contracts are worth, that's ultimately how we get them to divest. We are at the point where the tech industry in general, big tech, is the military industrial complex of this century. These giant tech companies are the Raytheons and the Lockheed Martins and the Boeings of our world that are just as essential to the destruction in Gaza as those physical sort of munition companies.
Yeah, if you can organize to take collective action, now is the time. And I want to emphasize that I know I'm in a position of privilege as well, where I'm hiding my face and name now, not because I'm afraid to get fired, but because I'm saving it for the right moment. And I think that, as we've said so many times, there is power in taking action together. And it's not just about doing the right things or going through what they tell us are the proper channels, that are the channels that enable them to ignore what we're doing. The best thing that we can do for the movement is to figure out ways to escalate beyond what they want us to do.
The genocide in Gaza has reached extremely urgent levels. Like when we launched this campaign a year ago, it felt extremely urgent, and it felt like it's something that we must, you know, put everything on the line for. And now a year later, it feels even more urgent. And that was inconceivable a year ago. The deliberate starvation campaign is ongoing and accelerating. Dozens have already died of starvation that we're aware of. Israel has announced officially plans to completely take over Gaza and exterminate the remaining population and lead the rest out of Gaza. A lot of people think that we need to play the long game and sort of like, you know, be strategic and be sort of cunning and wise. And it's not, you know, we shouldn't be very loud right now. We should like wait until we have more power and more privilege and more voice. And this is when we can really make an impactful difference. And I want to really challenge that. Like if anybody is holding on to any privilege, whether that is citizenship right now is a huge privilege, a job, or even a voice or anything like that, and they are thinking, you know, I just need to hold on to this for the long game, for like the big picture, I'm going to ask, like, if not now, then when? If it's not going to be this genocide, if it's not going to be when Palestinians are being starved and babies are being decapitated and Israel has become the number one leading cause of death for children worldwide, if it's not going to be that, then what is it going to be?
Thank you all so much for doing this work and building this campaign and speaking out and encouraging everyone else to do so. So thank you so much for being with us today on the Electronic Intifada.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. It was an honor.
Thank you.
That was former Microsoft employees Hossam Nasser and Vanya Agrawal, along with current employee using a pseudonym, June. They are with the No Azure for Apartheid campaign. You can find them on the internet at noazureforapartheid.com. Thank you for tuning in to Electronic Intifada Radio. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with feature articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Pierre Loisel, Nora Barrows-Friedman, and Tamara Nassar.